Welcome to the Grace Hill Podcast, a weekly podcast of our Sunday messages driven by our pastor, Michael Norman. Grace Hill exists to bring God's biblical truth to your everyday life. As we begin this week's message, we invite you to open your Bibles and capture what God has in store for you today.
Guys, we are in week two of our series on Hannah. And so let me give you just a quick recap of last week and leading us into this week. That Hannah was married to a man by the name of Elkanah. And Elkanah would take his family and they would worship the Lord regularly. That they would do everything that a God-fearing, God-following Jewish family were supposed to do at the appropriate times. He led them to worship. The story is that Hannah is loved by her husband, yet she has no children. And she had this deep, burning desire in her heart to have children. How many of you have ever had a deep, burning dream in your heart? A dream of something that was so strong that you thought about it, you prayed about it, that the emotions of it were really, really strong. What were those emotions that you felt? How did you respond when the opportunity came to fulfill that dream? That was Hannah. Hannah had these emotions and these desires in her heart, and she cried out to the Lord to have children. But Hannah's husband, Elkanah, had another wife. This never was God's plan, but that's the way it was. It's a situation she found herself in. And Peninnah, this other wife, would taunt Hannah saying, I have kids and you don't. It must be God's judgment. She would say incredibly harsh things because you know that the ones you're closest to are often the ones that you can say the harshest things to. And she would taunt Hannah. And so she would push her buttons, and that's the situation that Hannah's in. So Hannah goes with her family, and they go at the appropriate time, at the appropriate place, and they begin to worship the Lord, and they bring their sacrifice to God. And her Peninnah begins to taunt her to the point of tears. And in her exasperation, the Bible says that she weeps before the Lord. In fact, culturally, that's something pretty different than what we experience here. That we're pretty reserved, particularly in this room, we're pretty reserved. But Hannah, she wept and wept before the Lord, and probably culturally, it was loud. Probably for us, that we would have felt very, very uncomfortable in the moment. As she wept openly, we'd have been like, oh, like, you know, when you're uncomfortable, you don't make eye contact, you know? Something, you're in the hallway, you're in an elevator, and the husband and wife are arguing. What do? You kind of look down, look away. That's what we probably would have done. It would have been dramatic culturally for us, but culturally for them, it was crying out to the Lord. But I love that she took the desires of her heart, she took the heartache that she had, she took it to God. Let's look at what she didn't do. She didn't try to drink it away. I'm upset, let me kind of numb things. It doesn't help things, but numb things. And so she didn't try to drink it away. She didn't try to shop it away. She didn't try to take a trip and leisure it away. She didn't try to do any of those things. She took it to God. And I want to challenge those of us in this room that when you have heartache, when you have sorrow, when you have dreams that feel like they are not being fulfilled, to cry out to God, say, Lord, I need you to help me. To pray and to give it back to the Lord. And that's what she did. I love this. And God was faithful to her. He's been faithful for us in the past, and he will continue to be there for you. So her weeping before the Lord was so dramatic that Eli, the priest, sees it. He sees her crying and he watches her for a moment. She's pouring her heart out to the Lord, and the Bible says that her lips are moving at this point, but there's no words coming out. And so the priest goes, this lady is drunk. And he goes to her and he says, woman, I love that you just call, that's what I'm gonna start calling Tamara. Woman, come here. How you think that'll go over well? Yeah, me either. I think I won't do it. But he goes, woman, how long are you going to have the wine? Put the wine away. And she goes, my Lord, I'm not drunk. My heart is broken. I'm crying out to the Lord. And she begins to tell him what's going on in her heart. And I love that she, again, she puts the ball in God's court. That she has heartache, she has worry, she has fear, she has a disappointment, and she puts the ball back in God's court. And I just really think there's times that we try to control it. There's times that we try to manage it, or we try to avoid it and ignore it and get rid of it. But I challenge you to put the ball in God's court, to put the need in God's hands as passionately as Hannah did. And when she says, oh, my Lord, I'm not drunk. My heart is broken. I'm crying out to the Lord. My heart is, you know, I'm weeping. And here's what he says. I love this. I can almost hear it as an old, crusty priest. He goes, ah, go in peace and may God grant you whatever you've asked of him. This week, I've never read it like that until this week. When I realized that his sons weren't following the Lord and that he probably was a godly man, but he never disciplined his children. It's later in his life. And it's amazing that he's just like, I don't even know what you're praying for. Just go in peace. Quiet down. Just go in peace and let God grant you whatever it is you're praying about. The Bible says the next day they rose, they worshiped. Then the Bible says that they hung out in a very fun and married way. You know what I'm saying? It's not me. It's what the Bible says. She becomes pregnant, had a baby. And I want you to go back to what it says in verses 10 and 11. Hannah made a vow. She said, Lord, that if you give me a son, I will give him back to you to serve in your house all the days of his life. Can you imagine that? I want to ask you today, can you trust God with your family? And maybe let me bring it a little closer to home for some. Can you trust God with your singleness? Can you trust him with your future spouse? Can you trust him with the dreams and desires of your heart of saying, God, this is what I want, that I'm giving this to you. And really what I want you to capture is she made a vow, a deep vow in a moment of anguish. And how many of you have ever made a vow in a moment of anguish? God, if you'll just let that cop not see me speeding, I will never speed again. You're laughing because that's you in this room. You drive like me. You drive with purpose. We're from Dallas, right? That's what we do. We drive in a hurry. But Hannah made a vow. She had a son, and that's where we pick it up in verse 24. So what's happened now is that her husband's going to worship. She's going to stick around the house for a little while until she's able to wean her child. And in verse 24, it says, after he was weaned, she took her boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, the priest. And she said to him, pardon me, my Lord. As surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I've asked of him. So now I will give him to the Lord. For what? For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. And that leads us to our first point today as we're continuing the sermon from last week. Hannah gave her son to serve the Lord. Again, verse 28 says this, now I give him to the Lord for his whole life. He will be given over to the Lord. So Hannah has her son. She nurses him to an age in where she can pass him on and drops him off at the church for the pastor to raise. Now, I know that there are times you want to drop your kids off, but that's not allowable today. Aaron and I and Chris and I are not raising your children, particularly when they're acting poorly. But do you trust God enough to give him permission to do whatever with his children he wants to do with your children? Let me give you an example that Hannah gives her son to serve the Lord. That when we were youth pastoring, that we went through this phase where we saw a ton of irreligious kids come to faith. Like this influx of some of the most influential families in our city, their children coming to faith and fully giving themselves to God. It was beautiful. And there was this young girl that comes in, and she was an incredibly pretty girl. She was popular. She was one of the head cheerleaders at the high school. Her parents were affluent and well-known family that owned a couple of businesses in the city. And she came to faith in Christ in our youth group, and she fully gave herself to the Lord, and to watch her grow in the Lord was awesome, to the point to where in the intern process, she felt called to go to Africa as a missionary. She ends up dating and meeting this young man in our college group that came in and gave his heart to the Lord or renewed his faith. He had kind of walked away from the Lord. And it was like Ken and Barbie, and they both loved the Lord. They went off to Christian college together to learn the word. And then he sneaks home one weekend and meets with her father and says, "Can I ask your daughter to marry me?" And he looks at him and he says, "I will give you permission to marry my daughter on one condition. That you give me your word, you will never take her to Africa to live, and you will only live here with my daughter and grandkids." So the father is holding his daughter's calling and future ransom based on his personal preferences and his limited understanding of God. And instead of like Hannah saying, "Lord, you can do whatever you want to do with my son. I give him back to you." That is really where we need to be in our heart. Hannah, she brought Samuel to Eli and gave him to follow him there. And I want to ask you, do you trust God with your children? I want to encourage you to encourage your children to serve God with their whole hearts. I want to encourage you that when you serve in ministry, tell your kids what you're doing and why you're doing it. I want to encourage you that when you read the Bible, tell your children what you read and why you read it. When you prayed, what you prayed about and what, tell them what is going on in your life. So this weekend, you guys know that I'm a fan of Texas A&M football. My middle daughter goes there, but I have some great friends that lead a campus ministry at the University of Texas. And so this week I went and I spoke on Friday night to their college group, and as I'm speaking, they walk up and just as they introduce me and hand me a University of Texas shirt, and they said, "We're pausing the service until you go and change." Man, I love those guys. I jetted to the back corner and I changed and I walk out in my University of Texas shirt, and I taught and hung out the rest of the weekend in the University of Texas Longhorn shirt. It's a temporary truce, right? All for the sake of Christ, right? I love them. I love Jesus, so I did it. But it was a beautiful thing on Saturday morning. That was Friday night service. Saturday morning, we get up and we're hanging out with the campus pastor and his two boys who are 5 and 8. And they're giving Mally a tour of the campus, and he's trying to recruit Mally to go there. And I told Mally, "If you go there, I'll wear the orange shirt all the time in support of you." And so they're touring the campus and we're having a good time playing and talking and joking around. And then everywhere we go, the boys, 5 and 8, are go, "Dad, didn't last year, isn't that where we had that open air service that in the music?" "Yeah, that was it." "Daddy, didn't last year we meet over there in that building, and that's the room we met in, but we outgrew it, so we're over here now?" "Yeah, son, that's where we're at." "Hey, Dad, isn't that where we do welcome week and all the freshmen coming in, we stand on this big area and we invite them to come to Chi Alpha with us? Isn't that where that is?" And it was everywhere we went, the 5 and 8-year-old boys, they knew what Daddy did and why he did it and where he did it at, because their dad was including them in the process, so they understood why, because he's saying from day one, "I'm giving my sons to the Lord and I want them to do whatever he wants them to do." Isn't that beautiful? It was beautiful. It was inspiring to see these two boys know everything that Daddy did and why. Serve and tell your kids why so that they can do the same. Or maybe, again, let me bring this a little closer to home. Do we trust God with our dreams? Maybe you don't have family. Do I trust him with my future spouse? Do I trust him with my current singleness? Do I trust him with where I'm at? Or maybe do I trust God with these entrepreneurial dreams in my heart? Do I trust him to help me in the advancement of my career? Am I willing to say, "Lord, These are burning in my heart. Lord, would you hear my prayer? But I'm going to trust you in your timing. That's what Hannah did. She wanted it. She wanted kids years ago. She had suffered, but she's ultimately saying, God, would you remember me and let your will be done in my life? And Hannah gave her son to serve. It also says this again in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 11, that Hannah prayed, and it says, then Elkanah, the husband, the dad, he went home, but the boy stayed there and ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. Let your kids follow the Lord. Listen to the words. Listen to the words of these missionaries here. I really want to encourage you, let your kids serve the Lord. Robert Moffat says this, in the vast plains of the north, I've seen in the morning sun the smoke from 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever gone. Where Rachel's going, there will be 1,000 villages that have zero witness of the gospel. Oswald Smith said this, we talk of the second coming. When Christ returns, we go to heaven, we spend eternity with him. We talk of the second coming, but half the world has never heard of the first. Amy Carmichael says, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Mike Satura says, the mark of a great church is not its seating capacity, but its sending capacity. I would say the Lord's doing something pretty incredible at Grace Hill as we're continually sending. We have people responding unselfishly to send, people responding unselfishly to give, people responding unselfishly to spend the time praying for. I think that we have something going on here in our hearts. When I hear those quotes, they stir something in me. When I hear these quotes, they stir something in my heart, and I hope they stir something in you as well. They might stir you enough to give money to a missionary or a mission fund. Maybe, just maybe today on your way out, you'll grab a prayer card and a pledge card and you'll support Rachel. Maybe you'll grab a communication card right now while it's in your heart fresh and you have time, before you have time to talk yourself out of it, and you fill that out and you put that and you become part of the partnership on our team that sends her. Maybe today God will stir you in that way. Maybe he'll stir you enough to give time in which you actually go on a short-term mission trip, which we did just a few weeks ago, and we helped serve all of a portion of the city of Houston in remodeling houses as we share God's love. But I want to ask you this. Those are great ways to missions, but are you stirred enough to say, Lord, I'll even give you my son? You guys know that I work with a group that we plant churches around the country. And when I look last week at the average size of an American church, and in my study looking and searching for this, that I found of the top 11 denominations in America, 9 of them are in constant decline. Only 2 of them are growing. 9 of our top 11 denominations in our country are declining. And when I hear of churches closing thousands upon thousands of years, a year. And when I see that and I hear that, there's something stirred in me. And maybe it's to give, and maybe it's to help train, and maybe it's to send. But does it stir me enough that I'm willing to send my children? And you may say, you know what, Michael, that's an awfully high price to pay. Now, not everyone is going to go, but that's an awfully high price to pay. And I think that you're right. It's a high price. And I think it was a price that God paid when he sent his son for us so that we could know God. Are we willing to give our son or our daughter? The next point, if you're taking notes today, I want you to follow along, is this. Not only did Hannah make a vow, number one, not only did Hannah give her son to serve God, but number three, she gave her son to worship God. 1 Samuel, again, chapter 1, it says this in verse 27. For I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord, and for his whole life he will be given to the Lord. And the next verse says there, and he worshiped the Lord there. You know what's amazing to me about this passage is Eli is the priest and Samuel is the young boy, and the one that is referring to there that worshiped is not Eli, but yet Samuel. It says that he worshiped the Lord there. Samuel, he worshiped the Lord there. What's amazing is he's at the most 2 or 3 years old, and yet Samuel is the one who worshiped God. And so how did he learn to worship? The only way he learned to worship is by seeing those that he was around the most. His mother and his father, he saw them worshiping, and so he worshiped. How many of you know children are like sponges? You know what I'm saying? They do what they see mom and dad doing. I'm going to give you two stories. One is that a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, that he was far, far from God, and he got married, and him and his wife both came from very, very rough past, abusive, substance abuse, physical abuse. They get married and had a kid, and at 2 years old, he was at a stop sign. He goes to start, and he popped the clutch, and the car kind of jerked. And he hears his 2-year-old son cuss in the back seat. And he thought, oh my goodness, if my 2-year-old son, that's the language coming out of his mouth, something's wrong. We've got to find a church. I find it interesting that he was completely irreligious, but he felt like he needed to find a church because God was stirring something in his heart. And now both of his sons follow Jesus passionately. It's 25, 27 years later, and his children serve the Lord. But the second story is one I think is really funny. That when Madison was young, barely walking, Tamara wanted a night out with all of her girlfriends, and so I said, I'll watch the baby. They're like, isn't that a big sacrifice? A sacrifice, right? So Tamara goes out with all of her friends, and I'm watching Madison, and I thought, you know what? Madison's playing right over here with all of her toys in the living room, that I'm going to do some of my prayer time. It's a Friday night. I'm finishing up my sermon for Sunday. And so I start pacing and praying, and when I was praying, I had my hands raised, and I was praying out loud, and I paced this way, and then I paced back this way, back and forth in our living room. That's how sometimes I pray, and I'm praying out loud, and I go this way, and she's right there. I turn around. When I come back, she's not there. I think she went in the back room. I go back and I'm pacing several times, and each time I look back this way, Madison's not there. So I'm starting to think, maybe I need to stop praying and I need to go look for my daughter so that Tamara comes home to a living child. And so as I'm praying, and all of a sudden I stop and I wait for a second to look for her, all of a sudden something bumps into me in the back. And I look back and Madison has her eyes closed and her hands raised, and she's going, blah, 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 boof. She bumps into me, just blah, 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 like she's just babbling and you didn't know what she's saying. Well, why was she doing that? Because she saw her mother do it and her dad do it. And so for us, that's what we see with Hannah, is that Hannah was praying, Hannah was worshiping, Elkanah was worshiping, Elkanah was praying. And so when it came time for Samuel to go to the temple, it says that he worshiped the Lord there. That if we want our children to know how to pray, include them in prayer time at home, even praying over a meal. That we want our children to serve and to be tied into the church, then we serve and we're tied in and we tell them why. We want our children to read the Bible, to know the Bible. They need to see us read the Bible. We want them to know any of the other spiritual disciplines and know any of these other things, that we need to worship in front of them. We need to pray in front of them. We need to read in front of them. We need to serve with them, that they need to be included in what we do so they know what mom and dad's heart are and they know why that's our heart. So what does it mean to give your children to God? What does it mean to give your children to God? Number one, it just means this: pray over them daily. Say, God, here's my son, here's my daughter, here is my future child. I give them to you. I pray your blessing over them. In fact, what we used to do when McKenna, or both the girls were still in their mama's belly, that I would read the Bible and I would pray over them. And so when McKenna was the second one, she was about to be born, and I would read the Bible to her, and Madison didn't realize, you know, she can hear, it doesn't have to be loud. And Madison would put her hands on her mama's belly and go, she couldn't say McKenna, she would go, Kika! Are you in there? Kika! So when McKenna was born, she's laying on the bed the first day home, and Madison, 19 months old, climbs up on the bed, and McKenna's there, and you got her head here and her feet here, and Madison puts her face right on McKenna's belly really hard and goes, "Kika, are you in there?" Not realizing that was McKenna. But pray for them daily. Number two, support them in their positive endeavors. Also, we need to allow our children to fail. We cannot be helicopter parents that embrace them from any failure, because what happens is an entitlement mentality begins to develop in their lives that they can't, that nothing's ever going to go wrong and everyone's going to take care of them, when really that's not how it works. And if they're going to be little generals and little leaders in life, and they're going to be strong and faithful, we need to allow them to fail and then help pick them up and move them forward when the time comes. Also, as a parent, be a wing and not a weight. Also, you should be their primary encourager. That they should receive encouragement from mom and dad. But let me capture this, that the reason that we want to encourage is because we want to build a reservoir of love and trust and a reservoir of acceptance, so that when the time comes to correct them, the time comes to rebuke them, that they're able to receive that because they have all of this knowledge of love that we have for them as their parents. And so we want to build them up and encourage them and allow them to go out and allow them to fail and allow it to be okay and allow them to then feel our support. And then also expose them to the proper things. Parents, expose your children to good people. Expose them to good things. Expose them to godly people. Expose them to hard work. Expose them to the right things so that they see a model of those further along than they are. That's what it means. And then it means that we release them to the Lord. We release them to the Lord. So when I watch Rachel gear up to go on medical missions to a part of the world that's sensitive, I feel like that I'm watching my middle daughter, because she's at school right now studying to be a nurse, and she called the other day and she said, "Dad, I felt like I was supposed to support this missionary. He came to church, and I'm supporting him $50 a month." I went, 50, I was thinking to myself, 50 bucks a month? You only make like 150 a month at your job. And I just listened to her talk, and she says, "Dad, I might be called to medical missions." And so as I watch Rachel, I feel like I'm watching my daughter, and I'm exposing her to proper things, and then releasing her into God's will. Hannah's release of Samuel, you know what it does? Is it reveals an attitude that all godly parents should adopt. It reveals a godly attitude that everyone with a dream in their heart should adopt. Every one of us who holds something in anticipation inside, that every one of us should adopt in these areas. Number one is that sons and daughters are like arrows to be aimed and then released. That the children that God gives us, and even the dreams that God gives us, are not for ours to keep, but for us to develop for the glory of God. Let me say that again. In regards to children, they're not ours to keep, but for us to develop and then release for the glory of God. The dreams that he's placed in our heart aren't simply for us, but they're for us to develop and then release, and saying, "God, whatever your will is for this, we'll do it." And in surrendering to a child to God's purposes, a humble parent is not kneeling in an admission of weakness, but an admission of worship to God, and an act of worship. Here's what it says in Psalms 127, verses 3, 4, and 5. It says, "Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, our children are born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame, and when they contend with their opponents in court." It goes on, but basically saying that it's a blessing. And so really, in this whole time as well, I'm comparing it to the dreams of our heart. That the dreams he placed in us are things that he has for our lives. And what we do is we say, "Lord, this is for you. It's not just an inheritance for my kid. It's a heritage of what you are doing in me and doing for them. And it's a the dreams that we have are a heritage of obedience and of sacrifice. And so today, I want us just to simply pray. I want us to pray and say, Lord, I'm willing to give you my kids. I'm willing to give you my dreams. I'm willing to give you my future. I'm willing to give you my singleness and my future spouse. I'm willing to give you the things and the desires of my heart. So would you stand with me today? And that's how I want us to pray today. Chris is going to come in just a minute, but let me give you just a couple of closing thoughts. Trust God with your family. Lead your family by example. Trust God with your dreams enough to give them to God and to put them in God's court. And instead of holding to ourselves like Hannah, we passionately, passionately hand those things back to the Lord. So would you pray with me today? In fact, just as an act of worship before the Lord, would you put your hand over your heart right now together as a church? Just put your hand on your heart, and I want you to begin to pray this. Lord, I give you the dreams of my heart. I give you the things that are dearest to my heart because I know that you are trustworthy. I know that, Lord, you have been there in the past. You're faithful in the past. You're here now, and you're faithful in the future. Father, today, Lord, I just pray that you would take these dreams of my heart and let your will be accomplished. Whether it's the dreams for my children or the dreams for my career or the dreams for my future, the dreams for my family, I give these things to you, asking for your will to be accomplished in them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Grace Hill is always about knowing God and growing in God. And we want to hear from you. If you have a prayer request or simply a question, you can email us at info@gracehill.cc.